The 19th chapter of Vayikra, with which our parasha begins, is one of the supreme statements of the ethics of the Torah. It's about the right, the good, and the holy. And it contains some of Judaism's greatest moral commands. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And let the stranger who lives among you be like the native born. Love him as yourself, for you were strangers in Egypt. But the chapter is also surpassingly strange. It contains what looks like a random jumble of commands, many of which have nothing whatsoever to do with ethics, and only the most tenuous connection with holiness. Don't mate different kinds of animals. Don't plant your field with two kinds of seed. Don't wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. Don't eat any meat with the blood still in it. Don't practice divination or sorcery. Don't cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip the edges of your beard, and so on. What have these to do with the right, the good, and the holy? To understand this, we have to engage in an enormous leap of insight into the unique moral, social, spiritual vision of the Torah, so unlike anything we find elsewhere. The West has had many attempts at defining a moral system, some focused on rationality, others on emotions like sympathy and empathy. For some, the central principle was service to the state. For others, the principle of duty, for others still, the greatest happiness of the greatest number. They are all forms of moral simplicity. Judaism insists on the opposite, moral complexity. The moral life isn't easy. Sometimes duties or loyalties clash. Sometimes reason says one thing, emotion another. More fundamentally, Judaism identified three distinct moral sensibilities, each of which has its own voice and vocabulary. They are first, the ethics of the king, second, the ethics of the priest, and third, the ethics of the prophet. Jeremiah and Ezekiel both talk about their distinctive sensibilities. Says Jeremiah, "For the Torah of the priest will not cease, nor will Eitzah, counsel, from the wise, from the Chacham, nor the word, Davar, from the prophets." Or Ezekiel says, "There will be searching for a Chazon, a vision from the prophet. Priestly instruction in the Torah will cease, and Eitzah, counsel of the elders, will come to an end." So, priests think in terms of Torah. Prophets have the word or a vision. Elders and the wise have Eitzah, counsel. What does all this mean? Kings and their courts are associated in Judaism with wisdom, Chochmah, Eitzah, and their synonyms. Several books of Tanakh, most famously Proverbs and Kohelet, are books of wisdom, of which the supreme exemplar was King Solomon. Wisdom in Judaism is the most universal form of knowledge, and the wisdom literature is the closest Tanakh comes to the other literature of the ancient Near East as well as the Hellenistic sages. Chochmah, wisdom, is practical, pragmatic, based on experience and observation. It's judicious and prudent. It is a prescription for a life that's safe and sound, without excesses or extremes, but you'd hardly call it dramatic or transformative. That is the voice of wisdom, which is the ethical vocabulary of kings. The prophetic voice is quite different. It's impassioned, vivid, radical in its critique of the misuse of power and the exploitative pursuit of wealth. The prophet speaks on behalf of the people, the poor, the downtrodden, the abused. He or she thinks of the moral life in terms of relationships between God and humanity and between human beings themselves. For the prophet, the key terms are tzedek and mishpat, distributive and retributive justice, chesed, loving kindness, and rachamim, compassion or mercy. The prophet has emotional intelligence, sympathy and empathy, and feels the plight of the lonely and the oppressed. Prophecy is never abstract. It doesn't think in terms of universals. It responds to the here and now of time and place. The priest hears the word of God for all time. the prophet hears the word of God for this time. The third ethic, the ethic of the priest and of holiness generally, is different again. Here, the key activities of the priest are lahavdil, to discriminate, to distinguish and divide, and lahorot, to instruct people in the law, generally as teachers and specifically as judges. The key words of the priest are kodesh and chol, holy and secular, tameh and tahor, impure and pure. The single most important passage in the Torah that speaks in the priestly voice is the first chapter of Bereishis, the narrative of creation. Here too, the key verb is lahavdil, to divide, which appears five times. God divides between light and dark, the upper and lower waters, day and night. Other key words are bless, God blesses the animals and humankind, and the seventh day, and lakadesh, to sanctify. At the end of creation, God sanctifies Shabbat. Overwhelmingly, elsewhere in the Torah, the verb lahavdil and the root kadosh always occur in a priestly context, and it's priests who bless the people. The task of the priest, like God of creation, is to bring order out of chaos. The priest establishes boundaries in both time and space. There are holy times and holy places, and each time and place has its own boundaries, its own integrity, its own setting in the total scheme of things. The Kohen's protest is against blurring boundaries of the kind so common in pagan religions. Pagan religions blurred the boundaries between gods and humans, life and death, boundaries between the sexes, and so on. A sin, for the Kohen, is an act in the wrong place, and its punishment is exile, being cast out of your rightful place. A good society for a Kohen is one in which everything is in its proper place, and the Kohen has special sensitivity towards the people who have no place of their own, the stranger, the alien, the outcast. So the strange collection of commands in Kedoshim turns out not to be strange at all. The holiness code is ethics as it seems to the Kohen, love and justice as part of a total vision of an ordered universe in which each thing, person, and act has their rightful place. And it is this order that's threatened when the boundary between different kinds of animals, different kinds of grains, different kinds of fabrics is breached, or when the human body is lacerated, or when people eat blood, the sign of death, in order to feed life. In the secular West, we're quite familiar with the voice of wisdom. It's the common ground between the books of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the great sages and philosophers from Aristotle to Marcus Aurelius to Montaigne to Bertrand Russell. We know too what the prophetic voice is like, what Einstein called our almost fanatical love of justice. We're much less familiar with the third voice, the priestly idea that just as there is a scientific order in nature, so there is a moral order, and it consists in keeping separate the things that are separate, and maintaining the boundaries that respect the integrity of the world God created and seven times declared good. The priestly voice is not marginal to Judaism, it's central, essential. It's the voice of the Torah's first chapter. It's the voice that defined the Jewish people as Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. It dominates Vayikra, the central book of the Torah. And whereas the prophetic spirit lives on in Agadah, the priestly spirit lives on in Halacha, the very name Torah, which comes from the verb lahorot, is a priestly word. Perhaps the idea of ecology, one of the key discoveries of modern times, will allow us to understand better the priestly vision and its code of holiness, both of which see ethics, not the way a king does as practical wisdom, or the way a prophet does as justice for the oppressed, but also as honoring the deep structure, the sacred ontology of being. An ordered universe is a moral universe, a world at peace with its creator. and itself. Shabbat Shalom.